The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
After World War II and the rise and ultimate defeat of fascism, it was thought it can never happen again. But there is growing support across Europe and across formerly extreme left-wing Russia for right-wing ideas and policies. I'm joined on the line now by Rosie Burchard, who is a journalist with Deutsche Welle News. Rosie, good morning.
Good morning.
Let's start with the former bastion of socialism and left-wing thought, Russia. And they are trying to encourage people to have children, or certainly they're trying to encourage them not to want children.
Absolutely. So we have had a bill passed in Russia on its first reading, which bans promotion of what they call the ideology of childlessness. So any content which is deemed to be promoting a child-free lifestyle. Now, during the debate in the Duma, it's the Russian parliament, there were all sorts of comments from members about what this their branding of the ideology of childlessness leading to a decline in traditional values, and even ultimately they talked about the extinction of the population here. Now, this is, as you noted, kind of part of a broader trend where we've seen the Russian government really putting front and centre what they call the traditional family, and they frame it kind of defending it from what they slam as Western liberal values.
Now, is this a misogynist? I mean, the Duma, certainly in the days of socialism, had a surprising number of female representatives, which was maybe at odds with what was going on in the rest of Europe. So did the female representatives in the Duma also stand up and say, we want to have more babies?
There was certainly one of the bill was co-authored by a woman, for example, and she was one of the people that was speaking during the debate, insisting that it was about targeting destructive content, not about punishing choices. So really they talked about it punishing propaganda. But ultimately here, of course, we're looking at something which is, I think, quite clearly targeting women. I'm sure campaigners would say this is the latest wave of misogynism within a country which has a lot of legislation and rules which constrict women's rights. You're right to point out that, you know, there have been moments in history where former communist countries had less of a gender divide than was in the case in Western countries. I mean, very different situation today, and it's definitely a part of a broader trend where we've seen Russian President Vladimir Putin for years, for example, complaining about declining birth rate, about demographic challenges. And of course, there is a demographic crisis just now. I mean, across Europe, there is an aging population. But one thing that will not help it in Russia is to send a whole bunch of young men out to the front for their to pursue the full scale invasion of Ukraine.
So they've already banned anything that deemed to be encouraging LGBTQ relationships or any kind of gender transitioning, which would be against the idea of traditional relationships and so on. But in terms of the declining birth rate in Russia, we learned certainly in the dying days of the Soviet Union that abortion was used as contraception by many, many women.
It's also another interesting part of the history of European communism in general. I mean, just take the example of Poland. So before, when Poland was under communist regime, abortion was largely accessible. Then it became a democratic country, which was actually largely helped. It was seen as being helped by the Catholic Church. And therefore, there was a historian say that as a kind of favour to the Catholic Church, they then really massively restricted abortion, and that still remains today. So yeah, listen, the interesting historical parallels here, but you also brought up that question of restrictions on content, which is deemed to be promoting LGBTQ relationships. And that still is very much in play in Russia. And, you know, Vladimir Putin, when he does his press conference or his speeches, he gives these kind of long, winding tales, which do talk about history and talk about, you know, borders from hundreds of years ago and so on. But what he often draws upon is kind of accusing the West broadly, writ large, of not doing enough to protect children. And he'll kind of put everything into the same boat here, and particularly talking about this, what they call this traditional family, which I think, of course, is very offensive to a lot of people who have families in all sorts of ways.
Yeah. Now, what are the fines if you do offend against this new law?
So there's fines of 400,000 rubles. That's about 3,800 euros for breaches of this. And then the fines go much higher if you are a business or an organization. So that 3,800 euro fine is for individuals found to be breaching it. And some of the things they've mentioned, for example, is like a blog with a title of like 10 reasons not to have children. Writing that kind of thing is punishable. And you know, the question about how to enforce these laws are always interesting because, you know, who judges what is propaganda and what is not? But what it really serves to do, and I think this really, I think critics would say, is the clear goal of this, is to make people scared to put a character in their TV show or in their novel or in their ad who is a woman who has decided not to have a child. That certainly has been the result of the law banning what they call LGBTQ propaganda.
Now, you can bring in laws that may never be enforced, but the real question is women who do want to have babies and who are encouraged now by Putin to have babies, do they get the breaks in work? I mean, do they get paid maternity leave and all of those things? Maybe you don't know the answer to that question, but if he's serious about this, you'd imagine there'd be all sorts of perks for people who are having families.
Well, listen, this is a really interesting question because across the world and across Europe, there have been all sorts of governments trying different things to try and encourage women families to have babies. They often target maybe a family that would decide to have one child and try and encourage them to have two or three. But there is no real recipe for how to make that work, according to most of the research. You know, you have tax breaks in countries like Hungary. I think the return to leave is quite generous in Russia, but there are all sorts of other things which make life being a mother there harder. And, you know, the reasons that women and families more broadly decide not to have children are also manifold. It can be things like the economy. There was a declining birth rate in Russia in the 90s, in the midst of the kind of chaos of the transition. Of course, some people choose not to because they have fears about the climate crisis and so on. But there isn't really it's something which governments, neither in Russia in terms of kind of repressive governments or Western governments, have kind of worked out how. When many of them have a stated goal of trying to increase birth rates, but it hasn't. There's not been a kind of magic policy formula that's been discovered so far.
Now let's move to Italy. What are they doing there?
So in Italy, we've seen the Italian government, which of course is led by Giorgia Meloni, the Brothers of Italy party, that hard right party, which has recently just made it illegal to seek surrogacy abroad. So it was already illegal to, surrogacy was already banned within Italy. They say that's on the ground of kind of protecting women and avoiding a situation of what they would say is the commodification of the female body, worrying about, they often use the term wombs for rent. But there was a legal grey zone in which people could go abroad to seek surrogacy. And now they're trying to criminalise that. There's questions there also, or where they are criminalising it, I should say, questions about the enforceability of that, about the constitutionality of it. But it's definitely seen as an ideological move also from the Meloni government.
And the idea of refusing to issue birth certificates to children of, for example, lesbian couples.
Yeah, absolutely. So surrogacy, as we know, is sought by same-sex couples and heterosexual couples. It's something which goes right across the board. But we have, this is seen by certainly rights campaigners for LGBT groups as just the next step in the Meloni government's attempts to kind of pursue or limit the rights, particularly of LGBTQ parents. I was in Italy speaking to lesbian couples last year about their rights because there was, again, a kind of legal grey zone under which some local mayors in more progressive parts of Italy had begun issuing birth certificates where two lesbian parents, or two women, were on birth certificates as parents. Then there's been a national clampdown on that so that only one woman is in fact on the birth certificate. Therefore, the second parent would effectively lose their rights. And the mothers were really concerned about this. And now this next move, which is targeting surrogacy, is seen as also something which very much targets same-sex male couples, limiting their rights further. I should say that is not something which is limited to Italy. There are bans on surrogacy in many European countries, also in France, in Germany, in Spain. But within this context of the Brothers of Italy-led government, I think there's definitely an accusation that it has managed to make itself a very moderate image on the international stage by pursuing kind of moderate foreign policy. But domestically, there are concerns that it's continuing to clamp down on rights, particularly of LGBTQ people within Italy, on the community within its borders.
Now, Giorgia Meloni herself, she's a single mother, raised by a single mother, who leads a party that constantly talks about promoting the traditional family of the mother, the father and the children. I'm wondering, is it because she feels the loss of a father in the situation and the loss of a husband in her own situation?
Well, I mean, what is definitely true is that she has the members of her party, there is a far right wing within it. I mean, the party is generally seen as having kind of neo-fascist origins. But as I said, they've managed to kind of get past that on the international stage. And something they talk about all the time in her party members is this so-called traditional family, again, and talking about kind of Christian values and so on. If I've seen her speaking in interviews about this, where she says, and I've also interviewed members of her party where they say, look, we just want the best for a child. And we think the best is a mother and a father. Now, of course, that would be highly offensive to, for example, same-sex couples that are raising children. She has cited her own childhood as kind of informative in those views. But I think there will also be analysts that say, look, what she's doing here is kind of catering toward that kind of farther right, very socially conservative, very Catholic wing within her own party with these kind of moves, and particularly kind of pursued within the Ministry of the Interior and so on, as she pursues a much more kind of moderate image on the international stage. We've seen her welcomed in the White House. We saw her hosting the G7 summit earlier this year, looking really like, I mean, she's secure in the polls at home. Meanwhile, kind of her counterparts, Emmanuel Macron in France, Olaf Scholz in Germany, are really struggling domestically. And you can really see that contrast set up there when she manages to have a really growing appreciation for her image internationally. As I said, in quite a stark contrast to, I think, people who would say her government, that party, continues to clamp down on rights at home within the framework of what they say is promoting traditional family, Christian values and so on.
Rosie Burchard, journalist with the DW News. Rosie, thank you very much for joining us.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.